EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And if it was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago.
71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? You were just called about the UFOs we saw.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. Alright, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Welcome to UFO Chronicles, Roger.
Hi, Nick.
Appreciate you coming on today and sharing your encounters for us. Can you start with where you're from and then go into your first UFO encounter for the listeners, please?
I live in New Zealand. I've had a number of strange experiences throughout my life, but I will talk about 3 experiences, but I may recall some more. They kind of go back to some odd occurrences from childhood, but we'll start with the most memorable event in my life. And this would have been in 1998. This was in New Zealand in a region called the Wairarapa. And at the time I was studying a certificate towards a diploma in computing. At the time where we lived, there was no buses because you would have to travel to another town, which was about 30 minutes away. So I was quite lucky. I had some really good friends when I was studying. And there was a woman called Judy, and she used to pick me up on her way to the Polytechnic in Masterton. And she would also drop me back to my hometown in Carterton because we were both in the same class. Well, anyway, what happened was we'd finished a class. We were working late and she drove me back from Masterton. It was a normal night. Nothing was different or strange about the night. It was just a normal night. And I arrived home. In my earlier days, I was a relatively heavy smoker, like a tobacco smoker. Anyway, so I arrived home, and at that particular time, you know, I would drive home. I was about 18, 19, came home, you know, came in the door. You know, my parents would leave me some food. They had gone to bed. I'd, you know, chowed down and ate whatever was there. And then I went outside for a cigarette. And we lived in a town called Carterton. We lived on about 6.8 acre section. So the closest house, a good 50 metres away from us, at the front, possibly a bit more into the right, maybe 100 metres. And we had this porch on the outside. It was an open porch, had a concrete floor. And I do remember before I went outside, I looked at the time and it was about 9:30, 45-ish, somewhere around there. I went outside and from our porch, there was a very small fence because there was a swimming pool and you could look out towards the hills in the Wairarapa, out towards the hills in Carterton. And I was just casually sitting there smoking. And just unwinding from things that I had to learn throughout the day. And it was dark out, you know, there were stars in the sky. It wasn't very cold out because I don't remember having a jacket on. So you had quite a wide horizon that you could look at from where we were because it wasn't really built up. You know, you could see the hills in the background. You know, there wasn't loads of buildings. Pretty much it was just a small factory that was maybe, you know, 60 metres behind us that wasn't very high. And you could see all the hills and the area that we're in, you know, you didn't really see aeroplanes. You know, it wasn't an area that you really saw planes. So I was just relaxing. And as I was kind of staring into nothing this and enjoying my cigarette, I looked to the right, and there was this in the sky. You know, it looked like it was above, slightly above the hills, but much closer towards me, probably 300 or 400 meters back behind the railway line, distance and higher. There was up in the sky, there was this really bright white light, and it was a really intense white light. It stood out so much from like all the stars in the sky because how bright it was, and it was probably a lot brighter than what you would expect to see from like a plane's lights or a helicopter's lights. But it was the white light flashed on and it flashed off, it flashed on and it flashed off. What caught my attention initially was I thought, whoa. I didn't think it was a plane because I couldn't hear anything. I don't know why, but I instantly thought it was a helicopter. And I thought, why, that helicopter has really bright white lights. I didn't know, you know, they could be that bright. And then as soon as I thought that in my head, the lights changed from white to a bright, a solid red light, just a singular light. But initially, as the white light went off and on, it was just kind of slowly moving along, just like you'd expect like a plane or helicopter to kind of track in the sky, you know, maybe a little bit slower. But, you know, at the time, I couldn't hear anything. So, you know, I just assumed it was because of the distance. But as I said, as I had this thought, boy, this light's really bright, it went to a red light. And it went to like a bright red. Wasn't overly bright, but it was a bright red. It started like a solid red. It got slightly brighter, but it just kind of moved along. Like there was no, the red light didn't flash on or flash off. It was just like a red light in the sky. So I thought that was a little bit unusual. And by this time, it had caught my attention, and I thought, you know, I was wondering why this, what I thought was a helicopter, because all I could see was a light. I wondered why they had changed from white light to just a red light. It kind of slowed down a little bit. You know, I thought, oh, what's it doing? And then it was like a flash like that. And the analogy I can give you, it was like someone taking a flashlight and kind of like at night and quickly going one way and then the other. It was like it was that fast. It was like a stream of light from way, way out near the hills. You know, it wasn't right out near the hills, but, you know, that kind of distance, that distance and the stream of light, it was just so instantaneous. It was like someone had fixed like a red stream of light in the sky. It's the only way I could put it. And the light was from that distance, you know, over the property, over the fence near the porch and the swimming pool, and went out to the side, you know, just like that. So it was like it was just so fast. It was like, yeah, I can't, that's the best way I can describe it. And there was no, and the other thing that was, I noticed, which was odd, was I didn't actually notice any other sounds. It was like every other sound around me, I wasn't aware of. Anyway, so I actually thought that this object, by this time I realized it wasn't a plane or a helicopter, that this was definitely something not from this earth. But at the time it didn't actually frighten me, because I actually thought that the object had passed over, you know, flown over the pool, and I'd thought, you know, thought it would have gone past the house, and I would have just, I just assumed that maybe it'd flown off towards the hills somewhere. So I wasn't expecting to see anything else, but I was just inquisitive. And of course, where the porch was, if you can imagine to the right side, there was a footpath that went along the side of the house, and like there was a little gate near the porch, like a gate so that no kids could, you know, sneak in the property and get into the pool. So the gate was right next to the side of the porch. So I walked down the stairs and I walked out a little bit. I probably walked a little bit onto the grass, and then I just walked a little bit out and popped my head around and looked towards the side of the house. What I saw, it was just pure. Initially, it was just pure shock. And I mean just shock. It was like what I was seeing, I could not believe what I was seeing. It was just too surreal for my senses. There was a disc, and I would estimate it would be about the size of a large bus, and width, was hovering fixed. Center of the disc was probably maybe about 6 meters away from the house, but was approximately twice the height of the house up, and was just slightly lower than that, just hovering there. And it wasn't making a sound, and it had a red light on the bottom, but it wasn't a round light, like a round light you have on a car. It wasn't a square light. How would I describe it? You know, if you can imagine the black parts of a frog's eye and how they're kind of weirdly shaped, the light, it followed the edge of half of it, and then it kind of came in to the center a bit like an hourglass if you were to look at the silhouette of it. But that was red, and I do remember all I could see was the bottom of the ship because of the height. I could just see the bottom, but I could just barely realize, because the angle that I was looking at it, that I would be able to see the top, but there was no lights on at the top. The only light that was on was these two strange lights that followed the edge of the saucer. And I remember what struck me about the lights was that the light dissipation across them was perfect. And, you know, back then, you know, I wasn't aware of, you know, LED lights, but I think if I was to put it into a modern perspective, you know, we would equate it to, you know, an LED, maybe a designer LED light that's in a certain shape. So it was, I believe it was some kind of like molded flat panel LED on the bottom of it, or some similar technology. But after the initial shock, like within the first half second, it was shock, and it probably took like maybe a fraction more of a second to actually comprehend what I was looking at. The next thing was pure fear. It was a fear on a level I can't describe. It was unadulterated fear, because I thought to myself, you know, and if this thing has done this, this is way beyond our technology. I was very worried something was going to happen, because I had read and heard about other people's accounts in the past, but I never ever expected that I would be seeing a craft this close in my lifetime. So it was really a pure unadulterated fear. And I remember standing at this thing and saying, one of the things I said to myself was, you know, I don't even think I said it. I thought it was like, I don't want anything down here, because if I was to see something, it would just scare the shit out of me. And then the next thing was, like, throughout my life, I get messages, and I don't get them every day or every month or every year, but I kind of get like these messages that come to me, and they're like short one-liners. And on the dozen times that I've got them in my life, they've always helped me out of a situation. And it said to me, curiosity kills the cat. And I thought to myself, yeah, you don't want to be too curious, because something might happen. So by this time, my heart, and I have all this adrenaline, and my heart's beating, but really, really beating, because there was a lot of fear there. I was that frightened that it was almost like, I can't explain it, it was like, because there was so much fear, and the whole surrealness of it was so overwhelming, All I could do was slowly walk towards, walk towards the porch. And I stood inside the porch and there was a window. But because of the view of the window, I couldn't see the disc. And I probably stood there for a good minute or two, literally shaking. And all I could say to myself was, what do I do? What do I, and I still remember it to this day, saying to myself, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? It was kind of like, when people kind of have an experience and it's too much for them, they kind of go into a bit of a shutdown. It felt a little bit like that. And then I thought to myself, maybe I should go upstairs and wake my parents up. But I thought, nah, knowing my luck, by the time I get up there, they'll be gone and they'll be angry at me for waking them up. So I eventually decided to walk into the house. So I opened up the door and I shut the door. And by this time, I still didn't know if the disc had gone or not. And I walked upstairs and I was still saying to myself, what do I do? What do I, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And then I think I was too frightened to stay downstairs because it was like a two-story building. So I walked upstairs and I think I sat in my room. I was frightened that something would come in the house. I was really petrified. And I was just so overwhelmed. Like part of me had shut down and part of me wasn't there. It was hard to explain. And I think I sat on the bed and I just waited because I was just really frightened that something was going to happen. And I didn't know what, maybe something would come in the house. I think I hoped that if I just waited, it would go. And then it might've been like 10, 15 minutes later, I plucked up the courage and I thought, wow, maybe that thing stayed out there. Maybe you should take a picture of it. So I didn't know where the camera was, so I kind of flicked around and I found the camera, and it must have been like 15, 20 minutes later, and I managed to get the courage, and I kind of got it together, and I went back down the stairs, and I went out to open the curtains up, went out onto the porch, and I looked around the side of the house, and thankfully this disc had gone, because I think if I'd seen it again, I would have probably gone back into this weird kind of fear shock. And then I looked out towards the hills, and now there would have been like a dozen of these red lights, but they were further out towards the hills. But what was bizarre about the motion of these, there was obviously more than one disc out there, probably about 12 of them, but the way that they moved around, the best analogy I can give you, it was kind of like bugs flying around each other, kind of. They would kind of do this quick dart, like a dart, and then a slow kind of move around and then a dart. And what was bizarre was when I got the cap off the camera, and of course, you can't really see anything because it's at night and I had the light off, so you couldn't really see anything through the camera. Maybe just barely make out these lights. But what was bizarre, I still remember it to this day, was that when you would get them in the viewfinder, just before you would take push the shutter, and it was a film camera, they would dart outside the film frame. It was almost as if they could read what you were going to do. And every time you would get them in your viewfinder and try and take a picture, they would shoot out the viewfinder. So you couldn't take a picture. So you couldn't take a picture of them. And I tried, and no matter how quick I tried to take a picture, they would somehow zoom out the viewfinder. So I gave up in the end. Yeah, so I kind of watched them in the sky for maybe a good half an hour. And then by this time, I kind of had enough. And I'd actually given up watching them, but they may have been out there even longer. But they were just hovering out near the hills. They weren't really doing anything. And then I went to bed again, but I didn't actually sleep till late. I couldn't sleep till late because I was worried that something might come in the house, but nothing did. And then I told my parents the next day, and my father didn't believe me at all. He thought I was telling a load of rubbish. My mother was open to the idea because she had seen strange things in her life, but she'd never seen, you know, a UFO or anything like that. I think she'd had some odd experiences, but it was nothing of that nature. So she was open to the idea, but my father totally disbelieved me. But what was interesting was probably 10, 11 years later. No, yeah, probably about 10, 11 years later, he had an experience where he drove to work and he had lost time, and he had this object follow him down the road. But that's for me to tell, because it's not my story. So after that experience, he changed his mind about my story. And that was actually him driving from where we were in Carterton into Wellington. He had one that flew across from the hills and sat in front of the car. And he remembers it being odd because there was no cars around when it was in front of the car. So I think that these, if they are beings from another planet, which I obviously think, I believe they are, I believe they also have the ability to affect our perceptions around us. I think they have some kind of power to read our minds and maybe manipulate our perceptions a little bit. I do believe that. On retrospect, thinking about it, one experience that I always remember. The other one was actually in the same house, and this one would have been in, I believe it was 2011, I can't remember, it was either 2011 or 2012. But anyway, I was in the upstairs of their house, I think it was like 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning. I had got quite engrossed in this book, and I put the book down, I had the cat on my bed. Yeah, I think I was just about to turn the light off. And anyway, in New Zealand, we have possums. So if you don't know what a possum is, look them up. But they came in from Australia, and we have possums here, and they can make kind of weird sounds, and they can climb on roofs and stuff like that. But when something really unusual happens, and it's a little bit outside the norm, sometimes we go looking for logical explanations when really there shouldn't be a logical explanation. You know that there's something wrong, but you look for the most logical thing to make the weird thing not seem weird. Anyway, the cat was on my bed, and I remember there was this massive bang on the roof, and outside my bedroom was a very narrow balcony, and there was a door to go outside. And again, this is on this Olive Grove farmland. You know, there's quite a distance from the houses around us in this small town. But anyway, what got me was how big the bang was on the roof. And, you know, the first thing that went through my mind was I kind of chuckled to myself and I thought, oh, it's just like in maybe just like a movie where like a spaceman drops out the sky and lands on the roof. You know, that was kind of like the joke I had to myself, because it just seemed to me, it just felt like for some reason my first gut feeling was that someone had like jumped off something, you know. Because actually, when I think of it beforehand, I think there was a strange sound, but it wasn't very loud, and it was like a woo, I can't do it. There was some kind of weird kind of whistling or woo sound, I can't do it, but there was a very mellow kind of wooing, whistling kind of sound, and I could barely hear it, but I ignored it because I thought it might have been like the wind or something, so I didn't think of anything of it until I looked back. But anyway, it was the sound was so loud, and then I thought, well, it can't be a person because I didn't hear a helicopter or plane, you know. And then I thought, well, it's got to be a possum. And I was thinking, fuck, man, that's a big possum. And then I kind of thought to myself, well, there's some really strange logic here, because, like, what could it have jumped off to make that sound? There's nothing higher I could think of. There was nothing higher around there that anything could jump down on, so it didn't make sense. By this time, the cat on the bed was in its tail was right up, and it was, yeah, its ears were going, it was completely alert, it was like it knew something before I did. And the next minute you could hear like these footsteps, they were really deep footsteps on the roof, and to me it actually sounded like a person, but I wanted to explain it away in my mind, so I was thinking, oh, that's a big possum, but something about the whole thing just didn't seem right. And so I was a little bit, I wouldn't say scared, but yeah, I couldn't quite put it all together. It just seemed a little bit surreal again. And by this time, you know, the cat is like like looking towards the door in my room out towards the cat was actually like, it was kind of acting like, you know, as if a cat had seen something that was a threat. You know, it was kind of trying to look under the curtain. And then what got me was next minute you heard this, you could feel it, whatever it was, had jumped off the roof onto the porch in front of me, and it was that heavy that it actually slightly shook the house. It was, you could feel it. And I thought, well, possums don't, that can't be a possum, that has to be a person. And I thought, well, someone's got on the roof. And I thought, that's bizarre. Why would a person be on our roof at this time of night? I mean, what could they possibly want? Which didn't really make sense because, you know, how could they have kind of like landed on the roof in the first place? And so I thought, well, I'm not worried because my windows and doors are shut. So I was listening to see if I could hear a voice or, you know, hear someone trying to break in. You know, I always had this thing about shutting my door. So my door was shut, but it wasn't quite shut properly. And my cat, it knew how to, I can't explain it, but my cat could open my door. He kind of knew if he put his paw around the side or under, he could open it. And he was very inept of doing that. But anyway, so my cat, I'm still listening. The thing that struck me as really weird was that I looked at my cat and my cat was looking at the wall. And I thought it was really bizarre. It was like the cat could see something that I couldn't. It was like following something. You could see it was following something with its eyes, but looking at the wall. But all I can see was a wall. And then the next minute I could hear footsteps in the room next door. And this time I was shitting myself because that was a spare bedroom at that time. And I could hear like footsteps in the bedroom. And of course I wanted to place a logical explanation on it. Deep down I knew that someone had got in the house, but I was trying to put a logical explanation on it. So I thought maybe, you know, my parents had come upstairs, you know, and they were in the bedroom. You know, I thought maybe one of them had come up and had gone in the bedroom for some reason. But this, why would they do that at like 1 o'clock in the morning? You know, they were in bed asleep. So, you know, it's funny how your mind tries to explain away things, you know, when you don't want to face reality. And anyway, so you could hear the footsteps in the room. You could hear whatever it was, like pick something up and put it back down. And then, you know, it was slowly walking around the bedroom. And I can't make the sound, but I'm pretty sure I know what the sound was. It was like someone was fascinated by a quilt on a bed. And, you know, like when you rub fabric up and down, it makes that kind of sound. Well, something had put something on the bed and it rubbed the bed up and down, like it was kind of like testing the texture of the bed. And I thought, well, there's definitely someone in that room. And by this time I realized, you know, this is really odd. And then the next minute you could hear the cupboard had been pulled open, but it wasn't like someone casually pulling the cupboard door open. It was like someone had, you know, like how you slam a door, but kind of like the opposite of that, and you pull a door open. You could hear it being against the wall, but I couldn't hear anything going through the cupboard. I think I could hear something, but I couldn't quite, I think it might have been like some clothes going, I'm not sure. But something was looking through the cupboard, obviously, because I could hear the door going. And that by this time, the cat had kind of, I was looking at the cat as well, and knew it had kind of moved towards my door, was sitting at the door, but kind of like looking towards the corner of the room, you know, towards that room. And then next minute, the next cupboard in the room went, you know, it opened up. Not long, within a fraction of a second of that cupboard opening, my cat was trying to open the door in my room. It was like my cat was felt a threat or a presence, and it wanted out the room. And by this time, I was petrified, thinking, you know, what's going on? Is it a ghost? You know, what is it? Is it a spirit? You know, someone breaking in? But I didn't hear anyone open any doors or break any windows. All the doors and windows in the other room were locked. On the porch, you know, I actually checked them the next day. They were all locked. And then, so what happened next? My cat had managed to open the door like 2 inches, and my cat was kind of like in this caution mode. And I didn't know what was going to happen next, but I was looking towards the door as well. And you could see by all my body language, the cat had like a threat presence, you know. And the cat managed to open the door, and it kind of like, you could see the cat kind of put its head around the door, you know, just to take a peek. And the cat hissed. It hissed like I've never heard my cat hiss in its life. And once it hissed, it managed to open that door up, and it ran for dear life. And I could see a gap in the door that was probably like, 10, 15 centimetres. And of course, I had the light on, but there wasn't enough light going through the gap, and I could only see from the angle that I was at, you know, probably half of that. And I couldn't see anything. I could see absolutely nothing. And that in itself frightened me, because I was expecting, you know, light to be on outside or something, you know, or the door to be open, you know. Because I do remember, you know, just seeing black, you know. I don't really see, and I'm pretty sure, I can't remember, but I think I'm not 100% sure, but I think the door was still shut, because we had a habit of making sure doors were shut if people went in the room. So I was a little bit spooked by that. So I actually shut the door to my room, and I kind of waited, wondering if something was going to push my door open. But thankfully, I think the cat had actually put whatever off was going to come towards my room off. And then about a minute later, I could hear the cupboards going in the room in the next spare room, and there was no one in that room. You could hear the cupboards opening, you know, I could hear the cupboards opening, you know, it decided to go through those cupboards. And anyway, so I could, by this time I could hear someone downstairs, you know, and I could hear the door downstairs go, and my parents slept in the room downstairs. And part of the house used to be like an old little carport, and so when they came into their bedroom, there was a couple of stairs at that time before it was renovated. You would kind of go down, and they let the dog out. My mum had let the dog out, so you could hear the dog. Sorry, you could hear the door open up downstairs. But you know, the dog wasn't barking. Obviously the dog was not aware of anything out of the normal, but the cat obviously had seen something. I kind of explained it away in my head that, you know, it made no sense that, you know, she'd come upstairs and gone through the cupboards, but knowing full well that hadn't happened. And so I kind of waited for a while, you know, hearing the dog go outside actually made me feel calmer, because it was a normal sound. And so I kind of waited, you know, and I didn't hear anything else. I just heard the dog, and, you know, I heard my mother walk upstairs. And by this time, because it was like a familiar sound, it kind of relaxed me. And, you know, I'd kind of put some weird logic onto it, and I went back to bed, you know, and I turned the light off. And actually, I don't remember anything from that point once I turned the light off. But my mother tells the story that she had put the dog out, and she had come upstairs, and she had decided to make herself a cup of tea, so a drink or something. And she had gone into, there was a hallway and then stairs that went down from my room. And then as the stairs went down, they went into like a big, like a little stage bit to a living room, but it was connected to a kitchen. And from the kitchen, from the little door and the little gap, you know, like a serving gap, you could see towards the door at the bottom of the stairs, you know, that were at the bottom of my hallway. And she said, as it took her 6 months to tell me what she saw, she wouldn't tell me initially. It was really funny. She felt quite, it wasn't until I told her what I'd seen that eventually she told me what she actually saw, but she was very hesitant to tell me. And she said, as she was that night, when she was downstairs, you know, she made herself a drink, and she looked towards the door, and she said, through the door at the bottom of my stairs at the hallway, she said there was a man in a spacesuit. And she said what was unusual was that his helmet came down, you know, like you see the astronauts have a helmet that kind of connects around near the neck. She said the helmet came further down than that. But anyway, she said that this man, she said, and he was a very handsome looking man. She said this man appeared out of the doorway, you know, at the bottom of the stairs hallway, you know, I had to explain, as you turned, there was a small hallway bit, then you turn right, stairs down, and then a door. Out of that door, this man in the spacesuit, he walks through the door, he walks across the landing, down the stairs, and turned and walked through the sliding doors. Like, he just walked through them, like, literally, like, yeah, just, like, walked through glass. You know, the door didn't open, he just walked through the glass. And then we had a lot of other odd things that happened in the house. We had strange sounds around the house at different times, and the cats wouldn't come in. The other one, but I had an encounter with, initial encounter with a being that looked just like you and I. And it must have had some kind of like psychic block or something, because you could never make out fully what the face was. But I encountered this being on two separate occasions. It seemed to have some kind of power over people, and it tried to have some kind of power over me. I had to explain it. I was helping out a non-profit, and I was talking to a non-profit organization, and this was in the Wairarapa. And anyway, so I used to help out occasionally, and this person just walked in. It was probably the building was basically square. It had like a little kitchen down one side and like a spare room down the other, which was used for storage. And one day this person just like walked in, but rather than greet themselves or say hello to anyone, they just walked straight into the spare room. And I thought it was a bit odd, and I said to the woman who was the main person that worked there in the daytime, I said, there's a person that's walked in there, and they haven't even said hello, they've just walked in there. And something about it just was strange. Like, it was like, there's just something odd about it. So anyway, so she walked in there, and she was probably in there in a minute, and I couldn't hear anything. And I thought, well, I'm not hearing any talking, you know, I'm not hearing any communication. So I shouted out to her, and I said, are you okay, Joan? Are you okay? And then this person that walked in just walked straight out the building. And I couldn't really comprehend the face. And then she walked out, and she looked like she was almost dazed or stunned or not all there. And I said to her, Joan, I said, what did that person want? And she said, I don't remember. I don't remember what I was doing. I don't remember. I said, well, you went in there to see what that person wanted. And she says, do you know what? She says, I went in there, and I don't remember why I went in there. I said, there was a person that went in there. You went to see what they were doing. She says, I don't remember anything. Well, anyway, I don't remember how long later, but I occasionally used to visit because I did some work for them before voluntary. This person, which I realized later was probably not a person at all, but was some kind of alien or dimensional being, it walked in again when I was there. And I think she was like in the kitchen or something like that, or busy. So I was the only one initially in the main entrance area, you know, the main part of the building where the services are offered, you know, and there was no one else there. Being kind of did like this quick look around, and then it approached me, and about 2 meters from me, I couldn't see a face. It was like there was some kind of psychic block. You couldn't see your face. It was like a blur. And it was projecting a sound, a very penetrating kind of sound. It didn't make, it was some kind of sound or noise. It didn't sound like a language. It sounded like something was being projected towards you. But I can't actually remember what the sound was or what it was, but it didn't sound like a language. It sounded like a sound. My first impression, because I have a very good natural sixth sense, and intuition with things, my sense was that it was trying to like hypnotize me or put me into some kind of trance. It was trying to take some sort of control over me. And so I remember watching or listening to the psychic, and she said, if you ever feel threatened, imagine a white light around you. And I went one step further. I imagined an impenetrable wall around me of white light. And then this thing was I could see that this thing, I had the impression after a while, like the sound was getting louder and louder, and I got the impression that this thing felt a little bit confident, and it walked towards me a bit more. And then I kind of got the impression that this thing was getting frustrated that whatever it was doing was not working on me. And I was still picturing this white wall and this, I won't say what I'd done, but I pictured something else, which was a Chinese method of defense, a concept. I'll call it a concept because it may come in handy one day, just in case it does. But I did something different, and I could tell by this time that this thing was getting frustrated that whatever it was doing wasn't working. And I'd had enough of it by this point, and I pushed it on the shoulder. And this thing kind of looked to the side, and I could sense that it got a shock because it wasn't prepared for an interaction. And it kind of took a step back, and then it turned around and literally just walked right outside. It just walked right out the building. And then I kind of like, still in a little bit of, just found this really hard to comprehend. I kind of, a couple of minutes later, you know, feeling a bit safer, I walked out towards the door and looked down the road, but I couldn't see anything, you know. I didn't really want to tell anyone because, you know, I really didn't know what people would think of it. And I thought that was all quite weird, but then this is when it got vastly more creepy. And I mean totally more creepy, because this would have been after I finished my studies. And on the opposite side, this building was probably like 30 meters up from the Polytechnic on the right hand side, and opposite that was a bus, well, it wasn't really a proper bus stop, but there used to be an old bottle store, which I think had closed down. There was a car park, and outside there was a bus stop. And I think I had some time off work or something like that, or I was looking for work at the time. And I was waiting for the bus. It was near an old coach company or bus company. And they had like a little waiting area before an entryway, and it was off the road, kind of near the car park. So I was waiting there for the bus, and I was I was thinking, when is the damn bus going to turn up? You know, it's running, you know, I didn't really have the patience back then. And then I kind of turned, and you could see the wall of the Polytechnic met the car park, this building. And it was like, it happened so quick. You couldn't quite determine what it was, but it was like, I couldn't see a portal, I couldn't see a spacecraft. Two things had kind of just manifested maybe 20 or 30 meters off the ground, and suddenly kind of like shot down. It's the only way I can put it. It was kind of like they'd gone through some kind of invisible portal or wall. You couldn't see anything, but it was like they just kind of appeared through something. Or a door or so, I don't know. And then the next minute, there was this thing, and I'll call it a thing because slowly traveling along this driveway on the Polytechnic, and I was actually expecting to hear like people yelling or screaming, you know. I was thinking maybe people must see that these whatevers have just like materialized and fallen from the sky. And now I couldn't quite make out from the distance what they were, but you could tell they were big. They were big. This thing was big, and I would say about the size, probably the mass of an adult elephant. And there was something else with it, which I couldn't quite make out at the time, but you could tell they were moving down the driveway towards the footpath that was further down from where we were. And it was just so surreal. It was just surreal. It was just, I can't explain it. It was just on the most surrealist level, and I wasn't on any drugs. It was just surreal. It was just, I can't explain it. I was like thinking to myself, am I in a fucking movie? Is this like, am I like daydreaming? I was like pinching myself, like, is this a fucking daydream, you know? And anyway, so this being that had walked in and had tried to project and do something with me, it was walking in front of a being. This might sound hard to believe, but this creature, this thing, I don't know if you've seen Starship Troopers, but I think near the end you see like this thing which is like the big brain that is like the at the top of the hierarchy of all the creatures, you know, and you see in the movie it like sticks its head in, but sticks like this claw thing or something out of its mouth into this guy's brain and sucks his brains out. I do remember thinking to myself, this thing is a little bit like that. It looks a kind of, not exactly or similar, a little bit, you know, just a teeny little bit kind of like that. But do you know what? This creature, which was, it was that frightening. It was that frightening, the look of this creature, that my mind, even to this day, has blocked out the details of this creature. That's how frightening it was, that my brain has some kind of mental block there, that I can't remember all the details because they're just too frightening. That's the only way I can say it. This thing was so frightening that my brain won't register the details. It was like I just know that there's some kind of psychological block there. But anyway, what I do recall was this thing, which was obviously trying to make itself out like to be a human, was walking down the road. The only way that my brain can comprehend it, to accept it, is I think of it like a big spud, okay? But it wasn't a spud, but it was that kind of shape. This thing was just literally floating. It was floating above the footpath thing, and the thing in front of it was walking. And as it turned around, and this thing must have been like the size of an elephant, this potatoy, wasn't a potato, but this creature, literally the size of an elephant, probably a bit bigger. And as it was walking down, and this thing behind it was levitating off the footpath. Actually, come to think of it, it was just the one at the back that was levitating, the spud type thing. I was expecting there to be screams. I closed my eyes because I was expecting like the people that were standing on the footpath to be like screaming and yelling or running away. I was expecting the girls. There must have been like half a dozen people waiting for the bus, and I was expecting there to be screams. I was waiting for screams, and I was so frightened all I could do was close my eyes because it's so surreal. I remember just thinking, oh my god, this is just like out of a movie. It's just so surreal, and I was so frightened and scared. I just, all I could do was close my eyes. I honestly, that's all I could do. And when I opened my eyes up again, I was expecting it to be gone, but it wasn't. And all the people that were standing around the footpath in their different postures and positions, it was like someone had frozen time or had frozen them. I can't explain it, but it was like however the people were sitting or standing, it was like they were frozen in time or mentally told to freeze. I don't know, but they were just frozen. It was like someone had just paused time, literally, because I remember thinking to myself, nobody's moving. They're all completely frozen. And I don't remember hearing anything. But I do remember there was this young girl. She must have been like 16 or 17. This creature which I'd seen earlier, which had this really kind of face that you could never see, was standing to the right of her, literally just standing there facing towards the girl. And this creature, again, the only reason I can't recall all the details of this creature, because it frightened me that much, I just can't recall the details. It was just so frightening. My mind has blocked out all the details. But I do remember that this creature had some kind of something, like just like a bug. It had like this tube thing that kind of bent down, and it had detached itself. I'm not sure exactly where it was attached. I think it was somewhere on her neck or further down. I'm not sure exactly quite where it attached, but this tube had attached it. This creature had attached itself to this girl, this teenage girl, and I could see that it was feeding off her. I don't know what it was feeding off of her, but it was feeding something off her. It was taking something from her. And I just remembered getting this message saying, like, don't pay attention to it. Turn away and pretend that you don't see anything. And it was the same voice that said to me, curiosity killed the cat. And so that in itself just frightened me. It was just on such a surreal level. It was just so, so, so surreal that you didn't want to believe what you were looking at. You just wanted to, all I could do was close my eyes and turn away. It was just too much information to take in. It was like you were in a nightmare. That's the only way I could explain it. And I kind of turned my eyes away. And you couldn't hear anything. And I kind of turned away, had my eyes closed, pretending not to see anything. And then when it was probably like a minute or two, and then I turned back. And like everyone was like walking around normally. Everyone was like in their normal positions, and it was like nothing strange happened. It was like these two creatures had gone, And it was like someone had just like switched time on again. And these people were just going about like nothing had happened. They hadn't seen anything. And of course, this really makes you question your own sanity. And I got on the bus, and I do remember like the bus had to drive up and sort of drive around a part of town and drive back down the same road. But I do remember this girl. I mean, what do you say to this girl? I mean, do you go up to a person and say, oh, you know, like 5 minutes earlier, I saw like this horrible big creature the size of an elephant attached to you and feeding off you? I mean, if you were to tell someone that, they would lock you up or think you are a psycho or something. So, you know, I couldn't, what can you say? People will think you're a Fruit Loop. And now I got on the bus, and I do remember not long after I got on the bus, you could see she was, like, from her body language, because I remember her, she sat maybe 5 or 6 seats in front of me, and I was on the opposite side of the bus, and you could see, like, she had her hand on her head, you know, and she had this kind of, like, expression on her face, like a bad headache. And as the bus drove around, I looked at her, and you could kind of see from her body language it was getting more intense. And then as the bus came down, I could hear her saying, oh my God, there's something wrong, there's something wrong. And she got up out of her seat, and she said to the bus driver, I have to get off the bus, I have to get off the bus, there's something wrong, I've got the most horrible headache. I have never had a headache like this. I had the worst headache. And the bus driver's like, I can't stop here. And she's like, no, you have to stop. I think I'm going to have to go to the hospital. Something is really wrong. I've just got such a bad pain in my head. It's really bad. And so the bus driver actually agreed and stopped just further down outside the Polytechnic. But I never knew what happened to that girl. But this thing that was attached to this girl, I do remember it was big. This thing was big. It was really, really big. And it was that big that it actually was levitating off the road to the side of the footpath slightly. But I just remember it was so ugly. It was kind of like a cross between a bug and a blob. Yeah, I can't explain it. I just have no reference point for it. And I know there's details to it I can't recall, because it was just so horrifying that my brain is blocking it. I just know it's blocked. Not because anyone's blocked it, because I just know that the details of this thing were so frightening, my brain doesn't want me to recall the details of it.
The property where we lived, like, you know, if my parents would go away on a holiday or something, you know, I would have, sometimes the cats would not come in, and there would be this, what used to drive me bonkers was, you know, when my parents went away on this, it was actually an olive grove, was that, you know, I'd have to turn my light on at night because, and it would drive me batty because you could hear, you know, like in Star Trek, you know, like the, you know, like they have their tricorders that make sounds, you know, and they kind of, they're looking for something and there's a sound, you know, and it wasn't like a sound that you hear on a sci-fi movie, but it literally sounded like on some nights, you know, when the cats wouldn't come in, you could hear out in the fields, it sounded like someone had some kind of equipment and they were going up and down the fields, and you'd have to turn your lights on and you could hear it. It was either out the front or out the side, you know, and so I would go periods where I would turn, you know, I'd have to turn on every single light in the house, you know, just to feel, you know, like to relax, you know, because it was almost like once you put all the lights on, it would stop, you know, like whatever was outside was aware that somebody had heard something. And when you did hear the sound outside the house, like I said, the cats would never come in the house, and our cats always came in at night. They'd never come in, you know. I mean, it could have been a bunch of explanations, but you know, there were just odd things that started to add up in that house. I had my niece that came down from Auckland. You know, this would have been in the early, when would that have been? Early 2000s, somewhere around there. And I woke up out of a dead sleep. Why I woke up, I don't know. You know, I don't know what made me wake up. And I could hear these footsteps up the stairs in the hallway next to me. And it wasn't just like one person, it was like more than one person. And I could hear like a conversation going on between, I don't know what they were, I don't know what it was, to be honest. I don't have a clue, but there was a conversation between two somethings that was in no language that I had ever heard in my life. It was like a language I can't even it wasn't projected though. It was like a conversation. And there was two of them, and it was like no language that I could even, like, I can't even place where you would, like, it just didn't sound like anything you would hear on Earth. And I could hear the footsteps going up and up and up and up the stairs, and these two whatevers are having a conversation with each other in some language I have never heard in my life. And I wasn't going to go up to the door, and I wasn't going to open their door. And I put the head over my pillow. I was petrified to shit. And actually, it was not long after I put my head on the pillow and covered my ears that, you know, I must have gone off to sleep, you know. But that only happened when my niece was there, you know, that kind of interaction we had. But my mother was convinced, actually, because there was a lot of different odd things, I tried to get an explanation out of a psychic, and I can't say that's the truth because there's no verifiable evidence, so I have to look at it with a grain of salt and just say, you know, it's a possibility, but I don't know if it's true. And I spoke to a psychic because we had a space person, they walked straight through the walls. What actually woke my mother up to let the dog out was that she said all the lights in the downstairs bedroom lit up with light. She said it was like outside all the windows, it was like bright, bright white light, like something had lit all the lights up. And she heard a sound. She commented more about the sound than me. She heard a sound, and then all these lights came through the window, and then it kind of lasted for a while, and that's what woke her up. And that's what she got up to let the dog out, because that had woken her up. But she started seeing a little boy in the house. And he would manifest and disappear. And when she described the boy to me, I actually had an encounter with him one day as well. And I had a computer at one point downstairs in the old like an old carport. It was a little bit. My father put a wall in the large window, and I had a computer in a little spot there. And this little boy came up one day out of nowhere. I didn't see him more. Come from anywhere. He was looking through the window, and I had some, you know, on my computer. I was like, where the hell's this little boy come from? And I looked, and he kind of ran towards the gate. And then then a minute later, I got out, you know, and I walked upstairs, and I opened the door, and I looked out towards, you know, it was a driveway just in front of the house, you know, and with a gate. And I walked up. I couldn't see where the little boy went. But I spoke to a psychic, and she, you know, again, I don't know. I don't know if this is true or not. But she said to me that, and I explained a few things to her. And she said, "What had actually happened?" She said, "At some point, she said the reason this being or person or whatever you want to call it was looking through the cupboard, she said that being was looking for the little boy because she said for some reason they stopped somewhere where you are." And the little boy was not supposed to come out the craft, but he did. And it was one of their kids or something. And they were actually looking for their own little boy, and they had stopped somewhere. This was according to her. The craft had stopped somewhere, and the boy had gotten out the craft where it shouldn't have, and it was one of their siblings. So she thought that the boy, the little boy that was manifesting in the house and disappearing, she believed was actually one of their kids that had got lost. Or somehow got lost, or, you know, was here when they weren't even supposed to be here. How true that is, I don't honestly know. I have no clue if that's true or not. But she had some weird experiences too in that house, and, you know, just, you know, she had, I remember she told me about an experience. She had like a being come to the door. She said it was a person, but she said she wouldn't elaborate, but there's something not quite right about this person. I can't remember what she said it was. There's something not quite right. I think they rang the bell, and then they started knocking at the door, and there was just something persistent about this one person that just seemed unusual. It was persistent. And she said, because the window was reflective, they couldn't see her standing looking at it, you know. But she said if it wasn't the fact that the window was reflective, it probably would have known I was there. But she said it was just something was really not quite right about its persistence, you know. And that was one of the first unusual things that she had with the house. So from that thing, you know, from that thing coming through the house, and which was, I think, was the last year that we were there. Before we left, me and my mother were like, actually, we really happy that the house is up for sale, because the like, accumulation of odd things in this house, just it's just, you know, just that whole area, you know, with the strange creature down the road, you know, the remember how I talked to you about, you know, that how I saw that creature that I called it the potato? Well, that wasn't actually, I was actually thinking about it and I wasn't quite right. I actually saw that thing on multiple occasions. There was another occasion I saw it. There was about four or five of us outside, but the details are hazy in my mind. I can't recall the details exactly, but I remember saying to, I think there was a group of us outside from the organization. I said, noticed it walking up the road further down. And I said, "Can," and I didn't want to look that way. Honestly, I just turned around. And I had enough by this point, because, and I just said to one of the people there, I said, "Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it?" She said to me, "Oh, we're going to get in the car." I said, "Why?" She says, "Well, I don't want to be here." And I said, "Why don't you want to be here?" She goes, "Well, there's something not quite right." She wouldn't tell me what wasn't quite right. And then she just wanted me to get in her car and drive off to her place. And that, and so something had creeped her out, but she wouldn't actually tell me what she'd seen or what it was. But she didn't want to stay around. So she drove me to her house. And then later on she said to me, yeah, I saw something really strange. She says, but I don't want to talk about it, kind of thing. She didn't want to go into it. She just wanted to be at home. I remember when I started at that organization, one of the people commented to me, the woman Joan, who I spoke about, she had seen something, but she wouldn't tell anyone what she'd seen. Like something had been brought up at some point that she'd seen something odd, but she wouldn't ever tell anyone what she saw. And, you know, I actually tried to press her one day about what she had seen, and it was like, she wouldn't say anything, you know. She for whatever reason, she didn't feel like she was comfortable telling me what she had seen or what it was, you know. What was odd was there was another occasion I remembered when I was in this non-profit organization, and I think she was at doing her office stuff because she was in the corner of the room, and I was f***ing around with something or helping out doing something on the computer. And I do remember her, this was another occasion, and I do remember her saying to me, don't look. And I was like, what the hell are you, what are you talking about? Don't, you know, and I hadn't noticed someone had come in behind me. And she said, don't look, don't look. And what was the other thing? She said, oh, don't pay any attention. Don't pay any attention. I'm thinking, what the hell are they about? Like, what is she, you know, what is this all about? You know, I don't remember anything else from that point. You know, I can't remember what happened next or anything like that. You know, I can't remember. I think, you know, I think maybe they might have, I'm not sure, but I think they might have walked in the other room or walked out or something, or I can't remember exactly what happened at that point. But I do remember that at one point she actually had pre-warned me. For some reason, she obviously at some point, you know, I don't know, you know, must have been aware that there's something totally unnatural about this person or whatever it was or whatever you wanted to call it. But I think what creeped me out and stopped me visiting the organization, what really creeped me out was Joan had left. She'd been there for so many years and she left, and she was training up a new person. And that new person, to me, there was just something a little bit, they were just an odd person. I mean, there's just something about them that was odd, but not as old as this old lady. She was just a little bit odd, I thought. And I couldn't put my finger on what odd was. She was just like, different, you know. And then she said to me one day, it had nothing to do with anything spacey or anything like that. She was into some weird cult religion, you know. And so I, at least I had some kind of understanding maybe why I picked up a strange vibe with her. But I was in there one day, and then I think I walked out into the kitchen or the back room or something, and I was doing something, and the strange figure walked in again, you know, the one with the face you couldn't really see. And it came in, and I couldn't see it come in, but I could see it as I looked towards the door out from the kitchen room, but it had walked towards here. And I looked at them, and you know, I couldn't hear a conversation. I looked at both of them. She was looking at it, it was looking at her, and I couldn't hear a conversation, could hear nothing. And I thought that was really weird. You know, I couldn't hear anyone talking. I couldn't see any body language. So I actually went. It was like, and I kind of watched because I was a little bit fascinated. And I didn't really know what to think. But anyway, so I kind of watched it, and then the figure kind of after a minute walked off again, and I went up to her, and, you know, the organization was really nice, you know, they were quite good, and I said to her, oh, you know, what did that person want, you know, just being, you know, what was that about, you know, and she said to me, oh, it's not your business to ask, it's client confidentiality. I was thinking, but you weren't actually talking to anyone. There was no conversation that I could hear. So that kind of spooked me a little bit. And then after that, I never went back. I kind of wondered, like, did she have some kind of connection to this being or not? But I don't think she did. I think the vibe I just got from her was that she was in some, wasn't a cult, well, it was technically a cult, but she was tied in with the Baha'i faith, which is technically a cult, but it's very non-dangerous or anything like that. You know, it's a very free and easy kind of religion. But what got me though was with this creature was I honestly swear that I pinched myself because I thought I was hallucinating or in a daydream, or honestly I felt like I was in a movie set because it was just, and I'm thinking, why is no one screaming? Like, no, why is no one screaming? Well, you know, well, I think there would be some kind of interaction. But it was just so frightening. And if someone was to actually put me into hypnosis, I would probably be able to pull out all the details about what it looked like. But I do vaguely remember, though, that whatever it was, it didn't fit like a group that you would be able to associate with, like you know, you know like what's an animal, what's an insect, and you know, whatever I looked at, I do remember thinking it kind of had a vaguely remember thinking something about it had characteristics of a reptile and, you know, characteristics of a bug. But as to all the details, I just, you know, I honestly swear it was just so scary that my brain overlaying some kind of mask, so I just couldn't. But what is interesting is that area, though, the Wairarapa, the local Māori actually have legends of Taniwha up there. So the area's had like two large earthquakes in the last 100 years, you know, but the Māori have legends of Taniwha up there, which is their way of, and I've often wondered if that's what the Māori and the area were actually talking about, that the Taniwha, the stories of the Taniwha, are actually the stories of this thing appearing, because that used to be all like a forest kind of swamp area. So I've often wondered if that was what the Taniwha was to them, you know. Well, you know, that's, I always, and I can't remember who told me, I think it was a friend or Māori friend or something. She said that they had, the local Māori had stories of Taniwha in that area. It was known within the local Māori that there were stories of Taniwha there. You know, you must encounter some really strange stories of, you know, what other people have seen and encountered. I mean, I think with my father, though, like I said, my father never believed me, but he had a really bizarre experience. And he was driving into Wellington from the Wairarapa, and I don't know all the details, but something came out from the hills, went in front of the car, and was hovering at exactly the same speed as a car, so many meters in front of the car. So he had enough to just to see the, I think, you know, like 10 meters or 5 meters right in front of the car for maybe half an hour. It was an orb of some description or kind. And he actually lost time because by the time he arrived, I think it was half an hour or an hour late. And he actually took a photo of it and he showed it to his boss. He actually got on with his boss quite well. And his boss said to him, I think it was his boss or a manager or whoever it was, he showed them the photo and they said, you better delete that photo. And Dad said, why? And the guy said to him, it's dangerous to have photos like that. I don't know if it was just the way that they saw things, but he removed the photo. But, you know, it kind of changed his mind about this whole thing, the UFO. Now, there was one other thing which was really odd, and I've actually got an audio recording of it somewhere because I pulled it up about a year and a half ago. There was a sound in the house that we're in at the moment. We live in Paraparaumu, and to me it sounded like, my impression was, it was late at night, my impression was, it's like you could just barely hear it, but it was like you couldn't hear enough to be 100% sure what you were hearing. But it sounded like someone had gone into the bathroom, had opened up the cupboards for whatever reason. I could hear the cupboard go in the bathroom at some point. And the doors, we had the two doors opposite my room, we have plastic up because we have a Dachshund. So you could hear something which sounded like plastic moving. Reason that set me off for recording. That's right, my door handle. Well, I think it was the night before my door handle. Someone had tried to open my door, and my door, it's being fixed now because the door, you had to really shut it to jam it. And it's really hard for maybe for you to understand, but because I've had so many weird things happen over the years, I'm paranoid about doors. They have to be shut because it gives me a feeling of safety. I know it sounds strange for a person, but that's me. So the door, you know. And someone had actually tried to open my door. Like, someone had tried to press against the door and open it. And no one was awake. The house was locked. So there was obviously some kind of force trying to open the door in my room. But obviously that, and it was a bastard of a, excuse me, it's a, but before it got fixed, it was a bastard of a door to try and open. So it obviously tried and given up. And for some reason, I don't know if it was that, but, or a sound that I heard, I decided to set the audio on record. There was some kind of conversation that happened. I can't, it's funny, when I played the audio back to a couple of friends, they all heard different things. They all heard something different in their mind what they had heard. But to me, it sounded like the, it sounded like a person to me saying strong. It sounded like something had gone into that bedroom, the bedroom out the front, which is the one opposite me, had been in there, touched the plastic on the door, because, you know, and come out. They were in the hallway. They'd gone to the bathroom, picked something up, and then you could hear this, you know, those air-breathing masks that divers use? Breathe in, it's a kind of sound. It was that sound that the audio had picked up. It was a, there was some kind of conversation you could barely make out. And then on the audio, it was just like an air mask. So there was something out there, but as to what the hell it was, I don't know. Because I had the phone sitting in my room on record. And I thought to myself, if I just leave my phone on record, maybe it might happen. Another, maybe something weird might happen again the next night, you know, and sure enough it did, but it was only two nights.
But if you like creepy, this will do it for you. Okay, here we go. Be prepared.
But then the other thing that struck me though about the whole thing was that I was actually expecting, when I saw that all these dozen UFOs in the sky, you know, these little, all these red lights, I honestly thought that the next day I would like hear something on the local radio or in the local reg, I would see something about people seeing UFOs in the sky, but you know, not a bugger had seen a thing. I just thought that was weird. I just honestly thought that was weird. And I tell you the other thing that was odd as well that happened, the other weird thing that happened, but I don't think this has anything to do with UFOs or anything like that. One of my friends at the time, this was going back about 2 years ago, one of my friends, she, you know, when I used to visit her, you know, she was telling me, you know, on a couple of visits, you know, her grandmother's dying, you know, and she's really sick. And she said to her grandmother, and she said to me, you know what? She said, I said to my grandmother, if there is life after death, I want you to, can you prove it to me or do something to prove that there's life after death? And she said she told this to her grandmother. Her grandmother said yes, that she would do something to prove that there is life after death. Well, anyway, it must have been either the day that she died or, you know, the night before that she died. I woke up in the morning and my cell phone was on the floor, which was not unusual, but it was on the floor plugged into the charger. But what woke me up wasn't the sunlight or me or the sunlight or anything like that woke me up. My phone was on the floor, plugged into the charger next to the wall, you know, between my bed and the wall. And all I could hear was, and I leant down and my phone was on the ground and there was an orange orb that was hovering above the phone, you know, maybe, what would that be? Maybe 10 centimetres off the phone. But it was towards the further back towards the phone. It was a small orb was hovering above the phone. And I thought, oh, that's odd. But what was even odder was numbers were flying across the phone. It was pressing numbers on the phone. The phone was unlocked. That's the other thing that got me. The phone was unlocked. And, you know, only I knew the code to unlock my phone. So the phone was unlocked. And it was dialing numbers like on a normal dial. It was on the dial program on the phone. And it was dialing all these really, 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 really long numbers. And I looked down and you could see that there was all these numbers racing across the screen. It was dialing. I kind of looked up and I looked at it and I took it in for like a second. And then I was kind of like I've got to do a double take of that. And I was about to look down again and this orb, it rose up from the phone. It slowly, slowly rose up above the side of my bed. And I closed my eyes. And it was that bright that you could see the orb, you know, kind of through your closed eyes. And I opened my eyes and this orb slowly moved up towards the ceiling and went straight through the ceiling. But it didn't actually frighten me, but it was just like at that particular time, I didn't know anything about orbs. So I really didn't know what the story was about orbs. And anyway, later on that afternoon, now who was it that called who? I can't remember if she called me or I called her, and I said to her, I said, the most bizarre thing happened today. I said it was just bizarre. And she said, oh, my grandmother died last night. She said, oh, yeah, something really bizarre happened too, but I interrupted her and I said, there was an orb in my room. All these numbers were flying across the screen. And I said, and then this orb flew up and went through the ceiling. And she says, well, she says, that's bizarre. I said, why? Because she says, I got a photo sent to me from a number I don't know. And she says, it's of an orange orb. And it was an orange orb that was floating above the phone that, you know, went straight through the ceiling. Now, she tried calling that number. She couldn't get anyone to answer the phone. It just rang and rang and rang. So, you know, I never experienced like that, anything like that before. So that's the first time I've ever had an encounter with an orb. Yeah, no, that struck me as strange. It didn't bother me or worry me or anything like that.
So I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your stories with the listeners.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And thank you very much for your time there, Nick.